I would just like to add personally to the words of welcome to our moderator, Dr. Paisley. We're delighted to have him here in this house, and he is always welcome, and while we would like him more often to this house, our young people should hear the ministry of God's servant more often, and we're so thankful today he could come, and we're glad to have him with us. I see also our sister Gillian Middleton with us. I didn't realise she was here until I stood in the pulpit and had a glance over and saw her smiling face and realised, but her husband's not here, he's labouring away. He's in bed at the minute with the hours and all. He's probably still in bed. He's maybe not up yet. He doesn't get up. His service starts at 11. He gets up about 10:45, as far as I know. But we're delighted to have Gillian with us. We welcome her in the Saviour's name. I'm going to ask our moderator, please, to come and bring us God's precious word. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to minister the word of God, and a special present pleasure for me today to be here to minister to you at your anniversary services. If you have your Bible with you, would you open it with me at the 15th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans? Romans chapter 15. I want to call your attention to verse 30 of this chapter, Romans 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Let's stand for prayer. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. We could say a better amen than that. The people of God said, amen. Be seated, please. Great emphasis is laid in the Bible on the role of the Christian as the servant of Jesus Christ. We were born again to serve the Lord. The whole of our salvation was planned to put us into service for Christ, that the kingdom of God might be extended among men, and the Lord Jesus Christ should be glorified. Service for Christ is the number one obligation of the child of God. Are my times linked into the one objective of really laboring for Christ? We should ask ourselves that question. How is it in regard to our time? Am I like Paul, a true slave of Christ? For when Paul wrote his epistles and mentioned he was a servant of Christ, he called himself the slave of Christ. He had no will but God's will. He had no ambition but God's motivation. He had no desire but God's desire. He had no work but the work of God. He lived, he moved, he had his being in service for his Savior. Motivation to the service of Christ is all important. Human resolve cannot make you a servant of Christ. Preparing yourself cannot make you a servant for Christ. All efforts you may do and take cannot make you a servant of Christ. Christ must do a work in your heart, a deep work, a lasting work, a perpetual work, a continuing work, a work that increases and increases with the cry that John the Baptist gave. He must increase, I must decrease. Mr. Nicholson used to say, there's far too many loafers in the church. God send us a bunch of laborers. Are you a loafer? Look at the calendar that you have for next week. How much time will be spent on your knees with God for souls? What time will you give to witness for the Lord? What contribution will you make for the extension of the cause of Jesus Christ? You do not live unto yourself. And when you come to die, you will not come to die unto yourself. We are accountable beings. And God wants us to be fully inactive and inactivity for Him. Here is a verse, Romans 15:30. Which should be our driving power. It should get every engine in our spiritual activity into full throttle for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye may strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul lived in an age when the church was spreading, when country after country was being overthrown by the power of the Holy Ghost, and instead of temples to false gods and false goddesses being erected, churches were being erected. The church was on the move. And yet in that day, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together. Even in the Pentecostal day of the church, there was the attack of the devil to stop the service of the people of God in the work of God. One would think that in that day, the saints would have been chewing at the bit to be up and at it for Christ's sake, but that was not so. If you look at this text, you will find there are two great and overpowering incentives which will enable us to reach the massive heights of successful service for our Lord and Master. We have to work with the motivation for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Why do I pray? I pray for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Why do I pray for souls? I pray for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Why do I go out and knock the doors and talk to people about the great eternity? For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. And if we're not driven by that motive, all our act activity will be as a sounding brass and as a tinkling of cymbal. Useless and without fruit. So we need to be motivated for the sake of Jesus. I don't need to say much about that, because that is a simple thing. We know what it is to be motivated for the sake of something we love or someone we love. But there is something else in this text. He says, for the love of the Spirit. That is a theme seldom dealt with and seldom considered by the people of God. Oh, I have heard Christians saying in their prayers, I love Jesus. Well, you don't hear many people praying and saying, I love the Holy Ghost. Why is that? I love the Father. I love the Son. But why is it that we don't love the Spirit of God? There is an obligation for you to love the person of the Spirit of God. Because the person of the Spirit of God has a peculiarity that's different from the Father and the Son. The Father, of course, is the source of the great covenant of grace. And if there be no covenant of grace in the Father's heart, there would have been no salvation, and we would be all lost and damned souls. But thank God for a covenant that was born in the heart of the Father. And thank God for the Son, who was prepared to resign himself to the Father's will, that covenant might be ordered in all things and sure. But the Holy Spirit has a peculiar place. The Holy Spirit is the only person of the Trinity that abides with the people of God forever. We're reading that in our Bible reading, that the Comforter shall come and he'll abide with you forever. The Father takes his place on the everlasting throne. The Son carries out his great high priestly ministry, and so he has to leave this world and return to his Father. But he said, I'm going to send you another Comforter, and he shall abide with you forever. I was in a home stricken with death the other day, and we were just dwelling on this special point. The Lord Jesus Christ had to leave the church and take his place in heaven. The Father sits upon the everlasting throne, and in him all the family, both in heaven and earth, is named. But the Son, the Holy Ghost, is in the heart of God's people forever. When I come to die, the Holy Spirit will not say goodbye to me. The Holy Spirit will be with me forever. He will guide me across the dark river. He will bring me safely to the other side. And when I go in through the pearl-hung gates and walk the golden streets of the New Jerusalem, he'll not say goodbye to me then. He'll be with me forever. The abiding Spirit. If you should love a person, you should love the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Love of the Spirit. You should love his presence. Our brother was talking about the presence. and about feeling the presence of God. The only person that can make us feel the presence of God is the Holy Spirit. Oh, that He might come and transform our services, that the atmosphere might throb with the power of the Holy Spirit. I have happy memories of times when I was in services that were intensified with the very power of God. I remember one night kneeling with a few men well into the early hours of the morning, and the Spirit of God descended upon us. You know what happened? Every window in that building we were in, and it was a large building, that shook, but there was no storm outside. But thank God there was a storm in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit seized some of the men in that meeting, and their ministry after that was transformed. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came. His presence. We should love the presence of the Holy Spirit. We should be jealous to have the presence of the Spirit. And you can't have the presence of the Spirit if you're trifling with the world and the flesh and the devil. As old John Bunyan said, Jesus Christ and sin never walk hand in hand. And where Jesus is and where the Spirit of God is, sin must be judged. Sin must be crucified. Sin must be repudiated. Sin must be rejected. Do we really want the presence of the Spirit of God amongst us? Do we really want to feel the throbbing power of the Spirit that came down on the day of Pentecost and filled 120 simple men and women who took over the whole world as a result of His coming? Yes, His presence. You should love His presence. Do you love the presence of the Holy Spirit? Are you sad? When the Spirit of God is grieved, He's easily grieved. Are you sad when the Spirit of God is sinned against? Are you sad when the Spirit of God is lied to? I've heard people in prayer meetings saying what they were going to do and how much they were going to serve the Lord, but they lied. When the time came for testing the value of their consecration, it wasn't worth that. God doesn't want to hear from us words. God wants to hear from our lips and heart actions that speak louder than words. Do you love His presence? You know, if we really love the Spirit, we'll not only love His person, and His presence will love His purity. This is not a pure world, and you know that. This is a filthy age, and the filth that we're seeing being exposed politically today is only a very, very little thing compared to the darkness of men's hearts and women's hearts corrupted with the filth of this degenerate age. This is a degenerate age, and it's going to be more. We should be lovers of purity. Christ is a pure Christ. God Almighty is a pure God. And the Holy Spirit, His very name, is holy. Oh, blessed Spirit, teach me to love the purity that God loves and the purity that Christ died to achieve for me by the putting away of my sins. Have you the love of the Spirit for the purity of the Holy Ghost? Heaven's bliss is purity. In heaven there is no sin. I love reading that great portion in the book of the Revelation, and it tells all the things you'll never find in heaven. And you'll never find any sin in heaven. You'll never find any impurities in heaven. You'll never find any disobedience to God's law in heaven. Heaven is filled with those that have fallen everlastingly in love with God Almighty's purity. The very characteristic of God is He's a holy God. God demands holiness among His people. And where holiness is not, God will not be there. You can have all the things that make to a forward-going church, but if you haven't purity, you have nothing. We need to walk with garments white, with souls dedicated, with hearts that are pure. Do you love the purity of the Spirit of God? And then, let me ask you, do you love the power of the Spirit of God? Are you content just to have dead services? Are you content just to carry on? Just to come to God's house and go through the formula and leave God's house? Or do you want something greater? Is there a thirst in your soul today? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God wants us to be filled with His power. God wants us to be on fire for God. How miserable a believer is who's not walking in the ways of God. You talk about cranks. The greatest crank is a Christian who's out of touch with God. He's as crooked as you can make him. As Mr. Nicholson used to say, they couldn't hide behind a corkscrew. And let me tell you, there's nothing as crooked as a Christian outside the will of God. There's nothing as blessed as a Christian walking in the will of God. You know, there's men I love to meet. And I love to shake them by the hand and talk to them. There's other people when I see them coming a fly as hard the other way. I don't want to talk to them. Because they just pour misery into your ear. But you meet a person who has walked with God, and the first thing he says, I had a great time this morning as I read my Bible. Let me show you something that God showed me. And he opens the book. And he shows me something I never seen myself. Why? He was taught of the Holy Ghost. Colleges have their place. Theological professors have their place. But there's no one can replace or displace the blessed Holy Spirit of God. We need to love His power. We need to love something else. We need to love His peace. Oh, what peace the Holy Ghost brings into your heart. When you rise in the morning and you have your first time of prayer, and I trust before you leave your bedroom, you have prayed. If you haven't, number one, you're a fool, because the devil will get you by the neck and your day will be ruined. You need to meet God first. Wasn't it Horatius Bonner or Andrew Bonner, his brother, who said, I meet God first. And the first bit of writing I read is the writing of God's word. I meet with God and I take the book and I meet with Him through His blessed word. We need to love the power of the Holy Spirit, but we need to love the peace that He brings. Oh, the peace my Savior gives, peace I never knew before. To walk in a world of war at peace with God. To walk in a world with all its troubles and trials and heartaches and heartbreaks, but to have peace with God. The story is told of a great missionary, and he was walking down the street of the village that he was evangelizing in Africa. And an old man came up to him, and he said to him, "Man, with the peace of God in your face, tell me what gives you that peace. Do men and women take knowledge of us that we have peace with God? Do you love the blessed peace of the Spirit of God? Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The Holy Spirit whispers peace within. Happy is the man who has this love of the Spirit." And then there is the promise. We should love the promise of the Holy Spirit. This book is filled with the promises of God. They're yea and amen in Christ. Did you have one of those promises fulfilled for you this week, did you? How long is it since you had a real answer to prayer? How long is it since God answered a definite plea that you made? And you can say, "God has answered my prayer." We should live in the atmosphere of answered prayer. We should know our prayers are being answered. We have His promise. He's going to abide with us forever, and we have His promise that He will answer. And then we should love the Holy Spirit's prayers. You know, He's praying for us now. "He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The blessed Spirit of God. "He maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." When you go home this afternoon, take your New Testament and read the 8th chapter of the Epistle to Romans. And the 8th chapter of Paul's Epistle to the Romans is the chapter of the Holy Ghost. And mark many times in the 8th chapter of Romans, the Holy Ghost's name is mentioned. And when you come down the chapter, you'll find something about the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." And I don't know about you, but I need help in my infirmities. And I'm 80 years of age, and I needed them when I was 16, and I now need them more and more. But thank God He can help your infirmities. Have you infirmities? Thank God the Spirit can help them. "We know not what we should pray for as we ought." There is the Spirit of God's measurement of you and me. We don't know how we should pray for as we ought. "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us which with groanings which cannot be uttered." When last did you kneel down and say, "Thank you, Holy Spirit, for praying for me"? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for praying for me. Did you ever thank the Spirit of God that He carries on a constant prayer meeting in your heart? "And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The prayer that's according to the will of God will be answered. The Holy Spirit knows every prayer that's according to the will of God. So He prays those prayers for us. Happy is a man that has a Holy Ghost prayer meeting in his heart every day, every hour, and every minute. Spirit of God is holding a prayer meeting in my heart. And when God answers, some old Puritan preacher said, Holy Ghost praying brings Holy Ghost answers. And he's right. When God answers the prayers of a spirit, what a time it is among the saints. And then look at verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. Do you often wonder what's happening to you? I do. I say, Lord, why am I coming through this? And the Lord says, do you not know the Bible? Do you not know Romans chapter 8 and verse 28? We know that all things, difficult things, troublesome things, things that make us sad at heart, therefore are good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purposes. And then He takes us away into eternity. And He shows us that the whole purpose of salvation is to make you like Jesus Christ, to conform you to the image of His Son, that you might be a reproduction of the Savior. The Father wants heaven filled with reproductions of His Son. He wants me to be like Jesus. He wants to see the marks of His Son upon me. And only the Spirit of God can do that. So you should love the Spirit for that reason. And it says here, conform them to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So when we get to heaven, we're going to be in a crowd, and they're all like Jesus. They're all like Jesus. That's what God wants to do for us. No wonder the Apostle Paul, in this great portion of Scripture, and our time is gone, this great portion of Scripture shows us we need the love of the Spirit. The love of the Spirit. I was just thinking this week about the love of the Spirit, and I was thinking of how much we owe to the Spirit of God. Oh, how great is the love of the Spirit. What infinite patience the Spirit of God exercised towards us when we were stubborn, hard-hearted, careless sinners. He didn't give us up to hardness of heart. He took long patience with us. He strove with us. Some of you resisted Christ for years. You went on with your drinking and your gambling and your sinning and the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But God didn't leave you. Like the people of Noah's day, God the Holy Spirit strove with them for 120 years. He strove with them. God strove with us. He bore with the Israelites. They often provoked Him in the wilderness. He grieved them in the desert. But God was full of compassion. He forgave their iniquities. He cleansed their sins. He turned His anger away, and He did not stir up His wrath. And even Stephen The martyrs said to the Jewish Sanhedrin, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your father did, so do ye." But thank God the love of Christ didn't leave us. And one day, blessed day, happy day, my eternal birthday, Christ saved me in his grace. And the Holy Spirit wrought victory in my soul, and I became a child of God and an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because the love of God didn't let me go. He got the grip of me. And he who got the grip of me has kept me to this day. If God hadn't held on to me, dear knows where I would have been. But praise God, God holds on to his people. And he will keep us till the river rolls its waters at our feet. Then he'll bear us safely over where the loved one will reach me. And I'm going to make it. I said to a man the other day, "You'll be surprised, for when you get to heaven, I'm going to make it." And you'll have to live with Ian Paisley for all eternity. So you might as well start living peaceably with him now. You might as well start the program. Oh, my friend, aren't you glad you have got the Holy Ghost? I know I'm saved, not because a preacher told me. I know I'm saved because I have an inner witness in my heart. Nothing, no Pope of Rome, hallelujah, can destroy that. No old apostate minister can destroy that. No theology, no Darwinism or monkeyism can destroy that. I'm a child of God. I have the inner witness. Here in my heart today of inside information, I'm a child of God. The Spirit answers to our spirits that we are the children of God. Maybe there's someone here and you haven't got the witness of the Spirit. You're a lost soul. You're down the broad road. You're nearer hell than ever you've been in your life. Oh, turn while the Spirit in mercy is pleading. And steer for the harbor bright. For how do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Be in time while the voice of Jesus calls you. Be in time. If you sin, even sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate. And your cry be just too late. Be in time. May God bless his word to your hearts. Father, we thank thee for your good and gracious word, and we pray that you'd write it in all our hearts. We thank thee, blessed Spirit, that you ever came to my heart, that you ever strove with me, that you ever showed me the hands and the feet of Jesus. For, oh, blessed Spirit, you don't speak of yourself. You only speak of Jesus. And we saw him as thou didst show him to us. The altogether lovely one, the man of Calvary. And you washed us in his blood. And you made us a child of God. And we're here today, the living, to praise thee. Lord, send revival to our churches. Send the love of the Spirit into our hearts. Do us all good today. And dear sinners that are here that are lost, save them. May they be found of God this day for Jesus' sake. And everybody say, Amen.